Welcome to the Dairobi Health Show, covering the world of fitness, nutrition, and supplementation with world-class guests, the latest clinical research, and plenty of tips you can use right away to boost your health and wellness. Here's your host, Dave Sherwin.
Welcome to the Dairobi Health Show. I'm your host, Dave Sherwin, and today we have something very different than past episodes. We have cancer survivor Stan Thompson. He has survived stage 4 colon cancer using alternative methods, which he's going to talk about in detail. And this is going to be a great episode, and especially if you are dealing with cancer or know somebody who is. We're not presenting this information as if we have a cure to cancer or as if this replaces information that you should be getting from professionals. As a matter of fact, I think you'll find that Stan's trust in the diagnostic abilities and healing capabilities of various people is part of the reason why he's a survivor, and how he's mixed natural and alternative medicine with existing medicine is really a great story. He put his story on a YouTube video thinking, hey, you know, for some people that are interested in this, I'll make a little video, I'll put it on YouTube. And lo and behold, the thing went viral and thousands of people have seen this video and are asking him questions, and it is really well done. And we will put a link to it on the show notes for this episode. So today we're talking about Stan's method of surviving stage 4 colon cancer. Stan Thompson, welcome to the show. Thank you for taking the time.
Yeah, thanks, Dave. It's good to be here.
Yeah, your story is really compelling. And before we jump into it, I would like you to just kind of lay a background for everybody listening, a little bit about who you are, what you do, your family, how life was kind of rolling along before you got the devastating news that you got a few years ago.
Yeah, so currently I'm actually 49. I'll be turning 50 this year. I've got three wonderful kids, an amazing wife of 23 years. You know, I'm a website developer, so I'm doing the job that I want to do. I actually love my job, and there's not a lot of many people who can actually say that. So I work out of my house, and things are relatively good. You know, it's just, you know, we like to go out and do things like everybody else. And yeah, so, I mean, that's basically me in a nutshell.
So a happy family man, doing what you love, working from home, living the dream. But then you started to experience symptoms, right?
Right. So yeah, I started having a few symptoms and I decided to go see a doctor. And, you know, I had this feeling that I should get a colonoscopy, and it was when I was about 47. And so they say when you're 50 is when you should typically get a colonoscopy. And I decided, you know, I think I should get one right now. I was about 46, 47, and I thought, well, I better get one right now. And so I kind of encouraged my doctor to get me one. I was having some symptoms, and he agreed that, yeah, that might be something to do. He actually never even said, he gave me a bunch of ideas of what it could be, but he never said that it could possibly be colon cancer. And so he referred me to an enterologist who did the colonoscopy. The enterologist, of course, did his thing. I got dressed and he said, go, you know, wait for me in the other room and I'll come in and see you. And so before he even sat down, he walked through the door and said, well, I found your problem. You've got colon cancer. And we both just went, what? And at first we thought he was joking because he was so, you know, casual about it, but he wasn't. And he referred me over to surgery. They then removed a foot of my colon, along with a bunch of other things. They also had found that it had migrated to my lungs. I was speckled throughout my lungs. So they determined from that it was stage 4 colon cancer. So from there, they referred me over to oncology, where I went and talked to a medical oncologist. She told me that I had about 5 years left to live. And told me that their plan was to give me quality and quantity of life during those 5 years. Their plan was to put me on chemo and basically go from chemo to chemo until I ran out of chemo options. And then they would try other things like possibly immune oncology. There's some genomic options that they can try. A lot of these are more in the experimental stages still. Even immune oncology is still kind of an experimental thing. But that was their plan, and that's why she figured that I'd have about 5 years left to live, because they would run out of options. Colon cancer stage 4 is super aggressive, and it just keeps coming back. So what happened was I wanted to see what natural remedies could do. I started scouring the internet. First of all, it was kind of hard. I went to my wife and I said, I want to try natural stuff first. And she's like, are you sure? And I said, yeah, that's what I want to do. I at least want to try it for a few months and see how it goes. And so she said, oh, okay, let's try that. And so we determined that if it didn't work, then I was going to go to chemotherapy. I tried all kinds of things. I went to speak to a naturopathic doctor. Now, one thing Dave mentioned too, that I did speak to a lot of doctors. I actually spoke to, and I counted them up the other day. I've actually spoke to 12 different doctors and medical professionals about my condition, which is quite a lot. That's including my enterologist who diagnosed me, but that's the surgeon. I spoke to three or four oncologists. Four oncologists. Anyway, so there's a bunch of doctors and professionals that I spoke to. And one of the reasons I did that is I wanted to have all the options in front of me. I didn't want to just be listening to a medical oncologist who was going to recommend medicine to me. I didn't want to just listen to a radiation oncologist who would pretty much recommend radiation to me. So they all have their toolhouse and they all lean towards that toolhouse, even though they will sometimes refer you to the other one. But I went to a naturopathic doctor. He was at the time was kind of up in the air. He didn't really have a solid plan. I don't know how he is now with it, but this was a couple of years ago. And he said, well, what we can do is we can do a vitamin C IVs, which I won't get into the long explanation of that, but vitamin C is supposed to help kill cancer. And we were doing 75,000 milligrams a day, or as often as I could get the IVs, which is how often I could afford it as well, because none of that was included in or covered by insurance. So I was getting about 75,000 milligrams of vitamin C, plus they were ozonating my blood. They would take out my blood, put ozone in it, and then put it back into me, which was what Lance Armstrong got busted for doing. That was his thing. But so I had that done. I was doing coffee enemas. I was juicing all kinds of stuff. I had completely laid off the carbs. I was trying everything I could possibly try, and very disappointed when I got another CT scan and found that it didn't even slow the cancer down.
What period of time was that? For how long were you experimenting with those things?
That was about 3 months that I did that. And I probably could have gone a little bit longer, but cancer is very well. And as I mentioned, colon cancer is super aggressive. And it's very fast moving. Natural remedies are often a little slow and they do take a little bit to kick in. And if I would have kept with this for a lot longer, it might have worked. The problem was, is my cancer was already so far along that it's slow to stop something that's multiplying, you know, because you're not multiplying, you're not adding, you know, one cell onto 10, you're adding 10 onto 10 and then 20 on, you know, it's and so forth. So it just multiplies. And so that's where the problem gets in. And so I went on to chemo. We did two really wacky chemos. If I explain some of the things to you, you've probably heard of the chemos that make you lose your hair, but this one gave me cold sensitivity. I couldn't drink anything cold. I couldn't even touch cold water coming out of the tap. I had to warm up my water before I drank it. It was real weird. But I did this IV chemo, plus they gave me an IV of this stuff called Avastin. Which anyway is a different type of medicine. It's not a chemo, but it's supposed to prevent cancer as well through a different technique. And then they had me on a pill form of chemo as well. So I was doing two chemos at the same time, which is typical. So I got through with the IV kind. I took it 7 times, and by that time I had another CT scan and it was gone. My cancer was all gone. And so I was breathing a sigh of relief and thought, okay, I've fought the good fight and we're pretty much there. But I didn't really realize how aggressive this was. I never really fully understood this. And so really anybody who's listening, who has cancer, knows somebody who has cancer, one thing I would suggest that they do is go to your medical advisor, your doctor, whoever it is, and ask them all the questions, every single possible question you can think of about, so what happens when we finish with this? What's going to happen? Typically, tell me what happens. And then you say, if it comes back after that, what are we going to do then? And so the doctor already knows what to expect, but you don't. And so it's all kind of up in the air for you. And that's really the hardest part, is the unknowing of what's going to happen to you. And so
there's a lesson there, Stan. Let me just interrupt for a minute, because there is a takeaway there. I am surprised by how many people do not take full control of their own health situation. What I like about your story and what you just shared right there is that you wanted to become your own expert. You really wanted to know. You wanted to know everything. And you also, you mentioned that a lot of these health professionals have their own toolbox. It might be unique from a different person's toolbox. And the old saying that a person who has a hammer thinks everything is a nail, it's true even in the health and wellness world. And so to me, that's a big takeaway. For those of you listening, you know, to just ask yourself, how aggressive are you in getting the answers and seeing multiple people and getting additional opinions? I think that's a great lesson in itself right there, Stan.
Yeah, and even one of the questions that I asked my medical oncologist was, if I decide not to do chemo, will you continue to examine me, to do CT scans on me? Will you continue to be my doctor? And I was relieved to see that he said, yes, I would. And he's not a man for a lot of words. And so understanding exactly what he had to offer took some digging. It was actually through talking to a friend of a family who was a medical or who's a radiation oncologist, who really told me, dig these questions out of him. He said, go and ask him so you understand the whole plan. And so we did. Me and my wife wrote down a list of questions, and we said, all right. And we sat down with him, and he says, all right, what's the first question? We asked him, and he'd say, great. Okay, here's the answer. And I would say, great. We got down to the question even as detailed as, I know cancer is not going to kill me. What is actually going to kill me in the end? Because cancer's, you know, just the growth, it's the side effects that actually kill you. And so, you know, he went on to say, okay, here's what could possibly kill you. You know, you could get pneumonia, you could have renal failure, you know, and so he went on to explain everything so that I understood it more. And, you know, it just kind of put me in a better place, and to understand what to expect really helped. And so I'd encourage anybody to go and do that with their doctor. Just say, hey, you know, help me understand what your plan is. And don't just rely on their plan, because my medical oncologist basically from the beginning said, well, radiation's not going to work for you because you have them speckled throughout your lungs. And I said, okay, that sounds about right. And I talked to this friend of the family, and he says, yeah, we can't do it if it's speckled throughout the lungs. But as the story continues, I went for about a year without of chemo. And then this last February, or I'm sorry, a year ago last month, I had another CT scan, and there was one new nodule. And so I went to my medical oncologist, and he said, well, here's what I think you should do. And he went through and he listed all the different chemos that I could choose from, as if it was some buffet or something, you know, which ones he would pair together. And I said, okay, if you're sitting in my chair, what ones would you do? And so he, you know, he told me which ones I should try next. So I said, okay, that sounds like a plan. I said, what do you think about me taking a couple of months off, though? We've just finished the chemo. I've stopped now taking the pill because that pill of chemo didn't work. That particular chemo didn't work, or it stopped working, because cancer builds up a tolerance to chemo. And I said, what do you think about me taking a few months off and let my body recuperate, because my platelets are low, my white blood cells, red blood cells are kind of all messed up. And he said, well, that's not typically what we do. And I said, okay. And I said, well, I want to consult with another oncologist. So I did. We actually had a new oncologist come into town. He's an immune oncologist. And I went to talk to him, and he said, well, I can't do immune oncology on you until you do at least two rounds of chemo. And so I said, okay. And we left his office, and we were getting ready to call the doctor to schedule when to start chemo. And my wife said, well, why don't you run back in and ask this doctor what he thinks about you taking a few months off? And I said, all right. So I went into him and I said, you know, what do you think if I just took a few months off to build up my immune system again, get things back in order before I bombard it again? And he said, yeah, that's a pretty good idea. And he said, actually, that's a great idea. And it was funny. I mean, he looked on his face was like, yeah, why hasn't anybody thought of that before? You know, and I was like, why aren't they thinking of these things? So I spoke to my medical oncologist and said, we're going to give it a few months. And I gave him a date when we were going to start. Now in that same time, I was always doing research still, you know, always looking for new answers, something that could give me some hope, because that's really what I was looking for was hope. And so I came across this small article, but the thing that was awesome about it is it was on the NIH government website, which is the so it's NIH.gov,
which is the National Institute of Health.
Yeah. So what they do is they have a bunch of scientists all over the world that can submit their research to this PubMed, and anybody can basically see it, and it's able, you know, they're able to look at all this. So I found this short little paragraph about dandelion root extract, and basically it said, you know, it was just one paragraph. It said that giving, you know, these mice dandelion root extract had helped slow the progress of the cancer. And it said, in the end, it said dandelion root extract could be a non-toxic and effective anti-cancer alternative instrumental for reducing the occurrence of cancer cells, drug resistance. So I thought, yeah, what the heck? I'll start taking some dandelion root extract. So I ordered a bottle of it and started taking it. And, I wasn't sure how much to take. I just kind of followed the instructions on the bottle. It said a couple of squirts a day or something like that. So one night, this is about a month after I started taking it. One night, it was a Saturday night, and I was kind of bored and late at night, and I started doing some more research. And I went to that article again, and I realized that there was a link I completely missed that said the full text. And so I clicked on it, and there's a 21-page report of the whole study that shows all kinds of stuff. And I was amazed. I had to Google most of what was on there because I'm not a biochemist and I didn't understand what they were talking about. But I was just so excited in these findings. For one, they found that dandelion root extract would cause cancer cells to just die. It was a doctor named Dr. I'm going to destroy his name here. I won't try his first name. His last name is Pandy, I think. He's from the University of Windsor up in Canada. And they basically, he started up the study because an oncologist friend of his had said that some of her patients had been drinking dandelion root tea and had some decent results off of it. So he decided to test it, and he tested it first in a dish and put some colon cancer in there and tested it. And within 48 hours, it killed 98% of those cancer cells. It also left the regular cells unharmed. So he said, okay, there's possibly something to this. So then he started giving it to mice, and I think he did it for about 70 days where he just gave it to the mice in their water, just to see if it would have any toxic effect on them. And it didn't. The mice were fine. So he said, okay, let's actually do a study now. And so he gave, you know, half the mice cancer. He injected it into their torso, two different cancers. They're both colon cancer, but one on each side. And he injected it into them, and then they gave the mice this dandelion root water for, I think it was 70 something days again. The ones who were on the water, just plain water, of course their cancer grew and flourished. The ones who were on the dandelion root extract, their cancer grew, but not that much. It grew very little. And he even shows pictures on the report. He shows a bunch of graphs. So, you know, when I read this, I was so excited. It was like 1 o'clock in the morning, something like that. And I'm like, nobody's awake I can share this with. And the next morning, as soon as my wife made any inkling, you know, that she was awake, I'm like, here, I got to show you this. And so I showed it to her, and we both looked it over, and we had hope again. You know, that there was something that would at least slow down my cancer from growing.
And Stan, I want to interject something at this point in your story. Sorry to interrupt, but I think it's important.
No, fine.
I just want to point out and make this very clear to people that neither Stan or I have a dog in the hunt on this. We're not selling dandelion root extract. There's nothing for sale. We're not going to be pitching anything at the end. This episode doesn't end with, and now you can cure your cancer with this type of dandelion extract. So I just want to say that in case people are listening and thinking that this is going in that direction, it's not. And so I don't know if you want to add anything to that, just clarify.
And that's so good to mention because there are so many videos on YouTube that say this amazing thing that will cure cancer in 48 hours. And then you go to their video and they have all these ads on their video. My video that Dave's going to link to has no ads on it. I am just thrilled to be alive. I'm thrilled to have this new hope. As a matter of fact, I see people, I went to the doctor the other day and I saw a couple come in that were about my age and I sit down and I was just going to go talk to him about something. I can't remember what, but I sat down and I was waiting for my turn and he walks up to the counter. She goes and sits down. They're very somber looking and the receptionist says, "Oh, this is your first time." And he said, "Yeah." And I just was like, "Oh man, I feel your pain." And I so wanted to scream out to them, dandelion root extract, go look it up. I just didn't have a chance to even, I thought, you know, could I sneak over there and talk to them about it? You know, would this, I thought this would probably be the wrong time to do that. But anyway, that's why I made this video is I want to give other people hope. And I'm not trying to sell anything. And I probably do sound like an infomercial. My kids kind of roll their eyes when I start talking to somebody about it because I just will talk to anybody about it and I just want to spread the word. So, yeah. But yeah, I started taking it and let me get back to the story. So my time came when I was supposed to go in and start chemo. And I went to my appointment when I was supposed to start. And I had decided in that time also that I was going to radiate that one nodule. And then I was at least going to go get a consult from a radiation oncologist, but I had already talked to a friend of the family and he said that one little nodule can probably be radiated. So, you know, go see an oncologist. Luckily my insurance didn't require a referral or either way, my medical oncologist would have referred me, but I had already had an appointment with the radiation oncologist. So when I showed up for my appointment to start my chemo, I told him I'm not starting today. And it was interesting because I looked over and I saw that fanny pack that they wanted me to put on that I was going to plug into my port of my chest. And I was so relieved that I didn't have to have that at that time anyway. And so he said, "That's fine." You know, I said, "I've got an appointment at the end of the week with the radiation oncologist. I want to try radiation." He said, "That's fine." So I went to the radiation oncologist and he said, "Yeah, that's fine. We can radiate it." He says, "I can't guarantee it won't show up somewhere else." He said, "But we can get rid of that one nodule." He says, "I can pretty much guarantee it's not going to come back there." And I said, "That's fine." He kept each time I would meet with him, he kept saying, you know, "Hey, it might show up somewhere else." And I'm like, "Yeah, I understand that." Eventually I did share with both of them that I was on dandelion root extract. And you never want to withhold anything like that from them because dandelion root extract, one of the side effects that I have read is that it is a platelet inhibitor. And so it can slow your platelets from growing. And if you're on chemo and dandelion root extract, your platelets could plummet. So anything like that, you want to make sure you are sharing all that stuff with your medical oncologist. It doesn't mean that they're going to be knowledgeable about it and often means that they won't even look it up. But they kind of leave it up to, you know, mine left it up to me to understand it as best I could. And my radiation oncologist was pretty open about it. You know, he said, "You know, I can't really advise you. I don't really know how toxic it is, but, you know," and as we kept getting CT scan after CT scan of no new nodules, he said, you know, he would say, "Well, these are some pretty good CT scans." And I said, "Yeah." I said, "You know, I'm on dandelion root extract." And he said, "Yeah, I'm not going to tell you to stop taking that." And I'm like, "Okay, you can't tell me to take it because it's not FDA approved." But he was alluding to the fact that, hey, I think there's something here. Anyway, so this last February marked a year that I've been off chemo. In that time frame, when my doctor said, "Okay, here's the chemos that I want you on," I said, "How long will I be on them?" And he told me, "Until it comes back." And I said, okay, how long do you expect that to be? And he said, a year. So he expected in this year that we would kill the cancer off and that it would come back again. And then we would have to, by now, switch up to a different chemo again. So unfortunately, the last CT scan I had, they did find two new nodules that were slightly growing. I was devastated when I found this out because I thought, oh, you know, this hope that I had had been destroyed. And the bad thing about me is when I go get the CT scan, I go in and log in to the hospital's website and I can look at the results. And so I was able to read the results and know what was going on. But then, so I was devastated. And a few days later, I went in to see both the doctors. I went into one 1 week and then the other one the other week. But I first went to the radiation oncologist and he said, well, you know, he said, these are very small for one. And I said, well, considering the facts and based on your experience, is this normal growth for having been a year off of chemo? And he said, considering the fact that you haven't been on any systemic medicine or any chemo, no, this is very minimal growth. And when I went to my medical oncologist, I asked him the same thing. I said, considering all this that's happened, all I've done in the year is done radiation on that one spot. I said, is this normal growth? And he said, no, this is very, very minimal. So with that in mind, I realized, okay, this is still working. It's working slowly, but it's working. And maybe I just need to increase how much I'm taking in. So I've changed now. And the problem with some of this stuff is, it's not like regular medicine where, you know, you've got a backache or a headache and you take a pill and it goes away and you feel good. And then the next time, you know, okay, I can just take that again and it will go away. Something like this, you don't notice the effects immediately. You know, and I'm sure you've experienced that, Dave, with your products, that because they're natural, they come on slowly and you start to go, you kind of get a little relaxed at how you're doing it. And so there were times when I'd be like, oh, I need to make some more dandelion root extract. And I would go 3 or 4 days without taking it, because I need to make some more. And then I started not taking as much each day. And so I realized that I was kind of relaxing on this when the cancer wasn't. The cancer is still super aggressive, and I need to just keep fighting it. And so,
meantime, you saved yourself a year of chemo. Like, this is a very aggressive cancer that should be growing really, really fast. And instead, where your doctor thought that your path a year ago was constant chemo with all those negative effects, followed by look for the cancer to continue to grow, followed by let's try a different chemo. And instead, you have lived without any of the side effects. The cancer grew a little bit, but that was what he expected anyway, and with all the negativity of the chemo. Is that what, am I understanding this right?
Yeah, and actually, yeah, it is. That's exactly what they expected. And so considering all this, yeah, I feel I've been truly blessed to have this opportunity, this dandelion root in my life to be able to replace. I mean, if once you've done chemo, you would understand that, oh, I am so glad I haven't done this for a year. I might still have to do this sometime. I'm not ruling out. There are people who say I will never, ever do chemo. It becomes a different situation when it's you. And when all of a sudden you're realizing this foreign thing is growing in your body and the only way to stop it is to poison yourself. And, you know, and it makes you start to consider that stuff. And so I don't ever want to burn the bridge of medical, of the medical side of this, because they do what they need to do. But I try to merge Eastern and Western medicine together as much as I can. You know, and a lot of, you know, people who believe in Eastern medicine will even say the same thing, that, you know, of course you break your arm, you go to a doctor. You know, you're not going to go put, you know, essential oils on it or rub some herbs on it. You're going to go get it fixed. And cancer is way too aggressive to let something, I've worked my whole life to make that cancer. And so, you know, I can't expect it to be gone overnight with an easy remedy. And so, but I am super glad that I was able to at least slow it down. And I think I have a good plan in place to slow it down even more, because a couple of the great things about dandelion root extract is, first of all, it will kill any cancer cell, and it kills it in two different ways. I know this is according to Dr. Pandey's report. You can go look it up. And I have links to all this on thisstand.com. I've kind of dedicated that to kind of my story. So I have that domain name, thisstand.com. So if you want to kind of follow my story, you can go there. But I have the links to these things there. But first of all, it doesn't care what cancer it is. It'll kill them all. And currently, Canada's FDA, I think they're called Health Canada, has approved the testing in clinical trials, meaning that they can do human testing on leukemia patients. So these are leukemia patients who no longer respond to any medication. So they no longer respond to chemo or anything like that. And so they're now able to do clinical trials on this. Now, a month or so ago, I wrote Dr. Pandey, I hope I'm pronouncing his name right, an email just to see what the status of that was, because they had a Facebook page and then they closed the Facebook page. And so I couldn't really follow what the status of the clinical trials were. And so I emailed him and thought, I'm never going to receive a response from him. He's probably super busy. And he did respond to me a couple of days later. And he said that he can't really comment on the progress. However, they are doing well, is what he said. That's, you know, kind of how he said it. He said they've only been able to get four people to participate in it. Now, clinical trials mean that if they only have four people, two of them are getting placebos. That's the horrible thing about clinical trials. But anyway, so he said that they're having a slow time getting the clinical trials going. So a lot of people don't like to do clinical trials because there's a chance they're going to get a placebo and it's not going to do anything for them. But he said that it does seem like it's going well. So anyway, but he said they won't comment on that until it's completed. But that's such great news to hear that Canada Health or Health Canada has approved that for clinical trials, that we can now move forward. And if that happens, maybe if they approve it, then maybe in another 5 to 10 years, maybe the FDA might approve it if the government steps in and pushes it rather than a pharmaceutical company, because the pharmaceutical company will never get behind it, because you can buy it. It's costing me about $100 a month to make it. So
wow. And so before
$25,000 every 3 weeks. So
unbelievable.
That's the difference. So the other two great things about dandelion root extract is, like I said, the first thing is that it doesn't care what type of cancer it is. The other thing is cancer will not build up a tolerance to it. And I'm forgetting the last one off the top of my head. Actually, I got to know it. Let's see. Oh, that it doesn't harm other cells. Where chemo goes in and it kills everything that chemo, the fact that it is chemo is actually that it's trying to target certain cells, and it targets fast growing cells. And that's why usually people lose their hair, because the cells that produce your hair grow fast. And also that's why they get upset stomachs, is because the lining of your stomach is fast growing as well. But that's the three great things about it, is that you can take it always. You're never going to build up a tolerance to it. It's just going to keep killing it as often as you take it.
I want to ask you, let me, before you get more into the dandelion root, I want to back up a minute. So let's put that thought on hold as far as how it works, sure, where you get it, how you make it. First of all, I want to back up a few years. Let's say you were a different person. Let's say you were kind of sheep-like in your personality, that you did whatever your doctor said, that you did not take control of your own health. And instead, what you did is you listened to your doctor, you did what they said, and hoped for the best. So if we change your story, can you guess where you would be now if you had taken that approach and simply taken all the chemo that you were told to take?
You know, I shudder to think of that, of where I would be at. You know, I would probably still be alive, but my quality of life would be very bad right now. I would be constantly, every single week, I would be sick every week. What's interesting is you say that, and my wife commented on social media, probably Facebook, something like when she was doing a chat with a cousin, and said, you know, she asked, how are you guys doing? And we said, we're doing good. It's just hard to figure out what we should be doing. And she said, what do you mean what you should be doing? Isn't that what the doctors are for? And we went, what? No, the doctors are there to advise you of what to do. And that's one thing that, you know, I've had that good conversation with my doctor, that he understands he's not going to steer me where I want to go. He can steer me, he can try, but I'm going to choose what I want to do. And he understands that. And he always says, okay, here's your option. First, you can do whatever you want. You can do nothing. You can take this chemo, you can take this chemo, you know. So he outlines where he thinks I should go, but he always says it's completely up to you. So I can't imagine how I would be right now. Quality of life would not be as well.
Yeah. So, and so from what you're describing, it would be significantly worse. And so you currently do still have some cancer, even though it was a very fast aggressive cancer that had spread to your lungs. You're managing it well. And so what is your health like at the moment? How are you doing?
So my health, and that is a great question, because I was on chemo, I do have residual effects from chemo. First of all, we were concerned about my platelets not going up high enough. I found out this last year, I have a disc that's broken in my back. If I have to go in for surgery, a surgeon might not want to do it because my platelets are fairly low. Part of that could be dandelion root extract. My doctor, who is my medical oncologist, he also is hemologist, I think is what they call him. He's also a blood doctor, and so he understands how blood works. And he told me that oftentimes with chemo, the platelets just won't go back up. They'll just stay low. And so he said, you know, the only way we could tell if it's the dandelion root is if you stop taking the dandelion root. He said, and I said, well, okay, that's not going to happen. And so he said, yeah, there's not much we can do about that. So that is a negative side effect that I currently have. Most of my numbers have gone back up to the black, where they're not showing in red anymore. So it used to be where there was a bunch of red things, you know, as I'd go down the list, I'd log into my hospital's website and I'd look at my last blood test and I would go through it and there would be a bunch of things in the red. Well, they're now all going back to the black, except for that one. That's the one that's staying slightly low. It's supposed to be 150 to 400. Mine's around 90 something. So I am taking some papaya to try that, but I won't know how that worked until another 3 or 4 weeks. But,
and then you're feeling better. I mean,
I'm feeling
how's your
better.
Lifestyle, you know, and your general well-being?
Yeah, my general well-being is great. Actually, people say, well, you don't look like you're sick. And I said, well, I don't feel like I'm sick either. And my radiation oncologist said, you shouldn't, because you've got these little teeny cancer cells in you. And he said, they shouldn't affect you at all. And so he said, you know, if you're feeling tired or anything, he says, that's just because you didn't get enough sleep. So, yeah, in general, I feel good. I mean, I have the residual effects of chemo, which are I have achy bones. I have neuropathy in my feet. So there are things that, you know, are a result of me taking the chemo. But I still believe that at that time I needed to do that to get ahead of it. And now that I'm ahead of it, I'm trying to suppress it with the dandelion root extract. But
okay.
Yeah,
so
other than that, I feel good. Yeah.
You feel good. Where you wouldn't feel good, you'd feel like crap and be going through all kinds of symptoms if you were still on chemo.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. I never really understood chemo until they told me I was going to go on it. And I watched people sit in those chairs next to me. And I remember one lady in particular, she came in and she was the life of the party. I mean, she came in and everyone was, hey, so-and-so, and oh, hey, how you doing? And they, you know, they all knew each other because they were all coming in every so many weeks on the same day. And so they all kind of knew her. And I would, you know, I showed up for 7 weeks and then I was gone, but anyway, and the first time I went in, here she was, the life of the party. The next time she came in, she was a little bit down. I thought, well, maybe she's having an off day. The next time she came in, she was even more down. The next time she came in a wheelchair. And I was just like, wow, this isn't cancer that's doing this to her. This is the chemo that's killing her. And that's what it is. I mean, it's outright right poison, but yeah, I mean,
that is a really sad story. I mean, very profound. And from life of the party to wheelchair. And
yeah.
And again, it's so hard to talk about all this, right? Because some people, the chemo can change their life. I mean, here we are. I'm no cancer expert. I'm just a guy doing a podcast trying to give people good information. I find someone like yourself who has a great story. I want you to share your story. I'm hoping people can pull things out of this story that help them in their life and not make any rash or dumb decisions. You've been very, very careful and methodical in what you have done. But what you have done is you've not become that person who has been kind of almost victimized and ended up in the wheelchair. You are, although you're suffering from some symptoms, you're chipper. You sound like you have a great attitude. You sound upbeat. You've taken control of your own health. And while you have not got rid of the cancer 100% at the moment, it sounds like you certainly have it under control and without the drastic measures.
Yeah, and I hope so, and I think being optimistic is a very important part of it. I think, you know, not giving up yourself, not giving in. You know, it's so easy to just say, you know, doctor, whatever you want to do, I'm just going to do it, and then you just give in to, you know, to whatever. And I'm not saying the doctor is going to purposely do anything wrong. They're doing what they're trained to do and what's in their tool house. They're going to use their tools and they're going to try to fight your cancer. But I think there's so many other tools out there, and it's sad that in the United States that you know, medical can't play with natural well enough. You know, somebody said something like that to me, and I said, well, you know, they don't play well with each other, but they can still be my friends. You know, I can still be friends with them, even though those guys don't get along. I can still use both of them and do what I want to do with them. And so I think that's important, is not to give in and let somebody else control your health, that you need to get in and start, you know, say, making the decisions for yourself. And sometimes those decisions are, okay, let's do chemo. But sometimes the decision is, you know what, I'm going to go look and see what this other doctor has to say, and maybe he can give me, you know, another choice. I don't know. You know,
and in fairness, part of your story is you have not been gullible. You have had some negativity from dealing with the medical types, but you've also had and run into some people on the natural side of things that don't know what they're talking about and are out there giving poor advice and making terrible videos and really don't know what they're talking about as well, right? Could talk to us about that for a minute.
Yeah. So in my research, and I think a lot of them mean well, but since they haven't done the research, they haven't really studied things out well enough, or they just want to give that wonderful blog article and make everyone happy, they don't tell the full story. And I was so frustrated when I started originally. I had surgery and I was trying to figure out how I was going to attack this in a natural way before I did chemo. And I was so frustrated that all these articles would say stuff like, oh, well, these doctors are saying this. And I'm like, what doctors? Who are you talking about? You're saying that there's doctors that are doing it. Which doctors? Tell me which ones for sure, or which scientists are testing that. You know, they would make these claims. They even got to a point where they started changing the truth slightly. And I think they just misunderstood, but they started changing it. Like, I can't remember the guy's name, but the doctor who there was a scientist years ago who determined that that most diseases are caused in bodies that are acidic and not alkaline. And so they turned around to say, well, he won a what's the award? I can't think
Nobel?
Of the award now, but he won. What's that?
Is it the Nobel?
Yeah, the Nobel Peace Prize. You know, he won the Nobel Prize for this discovery, and he didn't. He didn't win it for that. He won it for something else. But they twisted it and turned it around to say, well, you can cure cancer if you turn your body into alkaline. That's not ever what he said. He always said that, you know, that you should try not to have an acidic body because anyway, so that's some of his research. But it was interesting to see how people completely turned things around that they had heard and they adapted it to be whatever they wanted to write about. And it got so frustrating because I've come across all these articles that would say stuff that it made me frustrated because they wouldn't cite their source. They wouldn't, you know, give who did the research or anything like that. And so that's why I was excited when I found dandelion root extract on an actual site, a government site, that posted, you know, what a university had studied, and they named the doctor and everything. And I was like, okay, there's some meat to this. And I took that 21-page report, and I have two friends, one's a chiropractor nutritionist, and I showed it to him. And I also gave it to, and I have a friend who is the manager of a genomics lab. And so this guy knows science, and I gave it to him and had both of them read it. And they both said, this isn't just fluff. This is good information. And so I went, great. This is good. I can roll with this. You know, I basically got their blessing on it, you know? And so, you know, they both follow me closely, and yeah, I mean, it's good to have reliable information. So what I'm trying to say is, if you don't know for sure, don't make recommendations. And I even have people that on my video say, Stan, you should be doing this, 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 and this. And I'm like, oh, okay, is that what you use to cure your cancer? You know, and then they don't respond back. And I'm like, so do you know firsthand, or are you just quoting what somebody else said? You know, you know, all this information is always passed around, but be careful how you're passing it around, I think, is important.
Yeah, excellent, excellent. And so let's segue then. I think we've covered we've got a great background here. We've got your story. I think there's just a lot of good stuff here, and there may be someone out there listening who either is dealing with cancer or knows someone who is now saying, well, just tell me how to use this stupid stuff. So let's... Let's jump in and get to the how-to. Tell us, what have you learned about dandelion root? What is it? How do you use it? Where do you get it? Okay. Tell us that story.
So interesting, before I get into that, and some hearsay information, but I have a friend who is in Serbia, and he knows my whole story, and his aunt. They have socialist medicine there, and his aunt, they determined that she was too far along. She was too weak. She couldn't even walk from her cancer. They just sent her home and told her, we're not even going to treat you because you'll just die from the chemo. And so they basically told her, go home and get your life in order. So he messages me and say, hey, I found out my aunt has cancer. What are you doing? And so I told him, and I told him how to, I actually said, go to my video and watch my video. And I explained everything there. And he said, okay. And he messaged me back and said, okay, I have a few questions. I said, okay. And so I answered him. He contacted his cousin, who's the lady's daughter, and told her how to fix this. So a month later, this is just a month, he contacts me and says, she is doing much better. And he says, she hasn't done anything else but dandelion root extract. And then he contacts me a few weeks later and he says, she's up helping with the dishes and doing all. And I'm like, are you kidding me? This is amazing. Anyway, so I don't know, you know, but I love to hear stories like that. And so once again, this is not an infomercial for dandelion root extract. And please stop buying it because you're making it hard for me to buy it. It's getting harder to find these days. But I'm not serious about telling people to stop buying it. But what you do is, I used to be able to get it at my natural. It was called Natural Grocer. It's just a natural food store, and they had it in bulk. And I used to be able to get it there, and they haven't been able to get it for about 6 weeks now. So I've had to order it online, and even some of my sources online have ran out. And so it's getting a little bit more expensive, but you buy it by the pound, and it's dried up. It's not roasted. There is, you can buy it roasted, but I don't recommend it roasted because I'm not sure how that's going to affect how usable it is. But you want dried, cut, sifted, organic dandelion root. And if you're trying to translate dandelion root, I've had people say, well, what's dandelion root? Dandelions are also called teeth of the lion in some countries. And it's the one that is yellow and then turns into the little things that you can blow off. And it's the smaller plant. You don't want to really harvest it from your own yard because, first of all, I think it has to come in a certain time of season. It's kind of like a carrot. You can't just go pick a carrot whenever you want. You know, if you see it growing, you can't just go pick it. You want to let it grow and get big enough And I think you have to pick it at a certain time of year. Also, if your yard's been treated by any pesticides or, weed control, then of course you don't want to be eating anything out of the yard. If you plant a garden and you want to plant dandelions there, great. But you would have to plant a whole lot to be able to keep yourself in dandelion root for a while. I've tried harvesting it from the wild, just going for a walk and picking it. But we walked probably a mile and I got a small handful of it. Anyway, so I found it best to buy it. I think the one that I get is from actually Croatia. I think that's just where they happen to grow it. I take it, I put it in a big bowl and I mix 1-to-1 of water in with it just to let it rehydrate. When you put it in, it'll be sloshing around. Within an hour or so, it's all absorbed and there's no more sloshing. You then take and you mix it, and I end up mixing about overall, when it's all said and done, it's about 6 parts water to 1 part dandelion root. So, but first I take a little bit at a time and I put it in a blender and I blend it up just to make it smaller so I can get more nutrients out of it easier without trying to get out of big chunks and stuff. I take and blend it up, put it in a big pan, and then I put about half my water, whatever I'm going to use all together, a little bit more than half, in that pot, and I boil it for about an hour. And Dr. Pandy, they did this too. They boiled it for, I think, 3 hours, and then they freeze dried it. They freeze dried the extract. And so a lot of, natural stuff, you don't want to over abuse it because it won't work, but he did, and it worked well that way. There are certain things that I understand you don't want to boil at all because it kills the nutrients off really bad. Evidently, this isn't one of them. This is something that you need to boil it down to get it out of those roots. So I boil it down, I strain it, and then I have to even press it with in the strainer. I just take a big spoon and I press it out because those roots don't want to let go of that moisture. And so I press it out. I put that in a bowl. And then I reboil it again. I separate the water and or the liquid and the pulp. And then I put the pulp back in the pan and I put the remaining amount of water that I need to do. And I reboil it again for another hour. And then I strain that batch and I mix the two liquids together so that they're both equal strength. I pour them into amber bottles and put them in my fridge. And then each day I'm drinking, originally I was drinking about 8 ounces a day. And then because the way I was packaging it, I ended up going to about 6 ounces a day, but that was when it started growing again. And so I've decided that right now this is my own, this is what I'm doing. Everyone's different, but I'm doing about 12 ounces a day. Another thing that you might want to look into is chaga mushroom. Somebody recommended it to me. I looked on PubMed on the NIH.gov website. There's about 20 different studies that have been done on chaga as well. And it's had just as good a results as dandelion had. So I'm interested to see how that's going to affect. But I take just a little bit of chaga each day. And what I do is I just every morning I go in and I pour me a glass of, I pour in a little bit of chaga and I end up about half a teaspoon of chaga, which makes about half a cup of water, or I put it with half a cup of water. So I pour about half a cup of the chaga, and then I pour about 12 ounces of the dandelion root in a shaker bowl or in a shaker cup. And then I just sit and drink that, and you don't want to drink it all at once. Matter of fact, they found that study, if you go and look at it, they show that it had a lot better absorption if you did it throughout the day and that it worked better drinking it throughout the day. So I usually try to drink it on an empty stomach. So I drink it first thing in the morning and then I drink it throughout the day. And I'm usually done by dinner time. And that's mostly because I sit at a desk and it's easy for me to just kind of drink off of it throughout the day and have it. And then my goal is to have it done by dinner and then I don't have to worry about it the rest of the day. It doesn't have the best flavor, but you shouldn't be sweetening it or anything like that. You just want it straight the way it is. You could probably water it down a little bit more. After a while, you kind of get used to the flavor and it doesn't bother you at all, but it's not a delicious drink. But the two main things is, like I said, drink it throughout the day. Don't drink it all at once. You don't want the roasted kind, and you want it to be dark. It should be dark as coffee. And so there are people that are drinking dandelion root tea and are having success with just the tea, but I don't think the tea is as dark as coffee. I don't think it's that strong. And so it needs to be fairly strong. But I have read reports where people with leukemia are drinking 3 to 4 cups a day of the tea, and it's helping keep their numbers down. So, you know, everyone's a little different, but this is what I've felt that I needed to do, how I needed to prepare it. And we'll see how this works in about 2.5 more months. I'll have another CT scan and we'll keep you informed how that works out.
Yeah. And best of luck to you, of course. With that, we hope everything works out well and you continue improving as you have been. What does your doctor currently think of what you've been doing for the last year?
You know, they won't really comment too much. My radiation oncologist kind of said, "Wow, you're kind of our own little case study here." And I said, "Yeah." And he's like, "Okay." And like I said, he said, "I'm not going to tell you to stop taking that, you know." And they really can't advise me on it because it gets them into hot water if they do. If they start making, you know, giving medical advice on things that aren't FDA approved. I have heard of medical doctors. People have said, "Oh, my oncologist recommends it for my liver because it does help purify your liver." That's one of the things that dandelion root is supposed to help do. It's supposed to help fortify the liver. And so people are taking it just to strengthen their liver. But I think a lot of those oncologists are actually doing it because they're going to see better results in the long run if they're drinking it. But mine won't really comment on it. I've had my nurse, you know, she says, "Are there any new medications?" And I said, "Well, I'm taking dandelion root extract." She said, "Oh, why do you take that?" And I said, "It's a cure for cancer." And she's like, "Oh, really?" And then they're usually kind of, you know, okay, whatever. And then as soon as I say, "Well, Canada is doing clinical trials on it," they're like, "Oh, wow, really?" You know, then they start to get interested when they hear that clinical trials are being done on it, because that means that there's been some good findings and that it's gotten at least approved by, you know, Health Canada to do this. So it had to go through some good stuff to be able to do that.
Excellent. Well, as we wrap up, is there any advice you give to people who are struggling with cancer? What do you say? I mean, do you have any last, parting thoughts for those who are actually dealing with this?
You know, like I said, it is a horrible thing to all of a sudden be faced with your own mortality. But first of all, I would say be optimistic. I sat in the oncology chair next to this lady who was 80 something years old. She was a feisty lady. They got up to go take her to do some labs, and she said, "Now don't go touching my water there." You know, she's just teasing me, but she's kind of a feisty lady. And after she came back and we're both sitting there with IVs in our arms, she said when she was 28, she was diagnosed with, I think, uterine cancer. And she said they gave her 2 years to live. That was when she was 28. She's 80 something now. And she said, "I told that doctor, don't tell me how long I'll live. I'll live as long as I want to live." And so I think the first thing is be optimistic. You know, we can all play the victim, but don't be a victim. You know, take things into your own hands, do some research. If you don't feel like you can do some research, enlist a friend or family member to help you and have them go with you to your doctor appointments. And, you know, don't face this alone. Make sure you have somebody with you. Even if you live by yourself or whatever, you have no family, get a friend who you can trust. Maybe have some clergy or somebody who, you know, in a church that they can recommend, or somebody who can go with you and can be with you in these things and help you make these decisions. And you don't have to rely on just the doctor to make the decision for you, but, and then get advice from anybody who knows what they're talking about, and don't rely on the people who don't. And, you know, everything that I've taken, I've tried to make sure I've taken it carefully, but yeah, I mean, I think that's about all. All I would say is just be careful, and yeah.
And the other part, I've said it before, but I said again, the thing that impresses me I won't say most, because a lot of things impress me about your story. But one of the things that I think all of us can take away, that we don't have to be fighting cancer to take away from this, is to become our own expert and not to blindly trust people from one side or the other side, but to do what you've done, Stan, to do our own homework, to get to the sources, to look for good, solid information, not just some blogger who's trying to write a story that gets lots of attention, which unfortunately is what most blogging and videos are about. I love how you kept digging for the substance. You were your own health expert. You sought out multiple experts and got their got advice, but in the end, you made your own decision. Just so much for all of us to learn here. I think it's an inspirational story. And for those of you listening, we will put a link to Stan's website. Again, it's thisstan.com. Is that right, Stan?
Yeah, that's correct.
So people, can they get a hold of you there as well? Or
yeah, there's a contact link up there, and they can get a hold of me. And yeah, I'm happy to answer questions. You know, once again, I don't really give medical advice. I'll tell you what I do and what I would do, but I really do encourage people to at least let their doctors know what they're doing. And some doctors will take, you know, an active role in things like this, but some will just say, okay, that's good to know, you know, but yeah.
Great advice. And you can learn more on our website, Dairobi.com. It's on the blog at Dairobi.com. This is episode 37 of the podcast. It's titled How Stan Managed Stage 4 Colon Cancer with Dandelion Root. So we will put links to Stan's blog and show notes and information about this there. And until next time, Stan, thank you so much for being on the show. This has really been interesting and educational.
Thank you.
Okay, and to the rest of you, thank you so much for listening in. We appreciate it. As a matter of fact, I would love it if you would leave reviews on the show on iTunes. They're super hard to get. I know everyone's asking you to review this and that and the other thing, but if you'd take a minute and review the show, that would be awesome. It really helps us out. And until next time, this is Dave Sherwin wishing you health and success.
Thanks for listening to the Dairobi Health Show. Make sure and check Dairobi.com for a free copy of Dave's excellent health book, Formula 7, and enter to win in our free Bottle Friday contest. If you're enjoying the show, leave your review on iTunes. See you next time.